This week on the Indo Daily.
I actually don't believe, right, that priests had her out of any harm. He just, like, thought I knew. But that's how I found out Miriam Martina was dead.
How likely is it that Trump will be found guilty of paying hush money to former adult film star Stormy Daniels?
We're talking about involvement in serious drugs activity on both sides of the border, and as well as that, the procurement of weapons.
Find and follow us at all the usual spots, and over on the Irish Independent website.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Anne-Marie O'Dwyer, chatting all things the psychiatry of cancer.
I want to say that it's very common to be very distressed, to have a very prominent psychological response to cancer, that they are not alone, that lots of other people feel in that way, and that it's important for them to have information. Information is power, but it has to be the right information.
As ever, we're available on all podcast platforms.
Bord Gáis Energy, putting customers at the core of under-20 and senior hurling championship action. Hashtag hurling to the core.
Hello and welcome to the Throwin Independent.ie's GAA podcast. I'm Will Slattery, delighted to be joined in studio, as always, by Michael Verney. Michael, hello.
Good, Will. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited. The hurling final is just around the corner. We have a bumper preview show today, as well as a bumper live show on Saturday. So we're giving people so much hurling content, but it's Kilkenny Tipperary, so it seems fitting. Are you excited?
I hope they don't get sick of us over the next week. There's a lot of familiarity about it, but there's just so much different about it as well, isn't there? Like, it's brilliant. Like, Brian Cody obviously going for 12 All Ireland. Sheedy's great comeback to win All Ireland the first year would be absolutely outstanding. Then there's the history between the two teams, the history between the two managers. It should be an absolute belter. Tickets seem to be fairly at a premium at the moment as well. So anybody that's looking for tickets, we have our live show on Saturday night in Croke Park. Three sets of tickets up for grabs. I tell you what, if I'd be fighting someone for them myself, I'd say.
Yeah, so a reminder that we have a great live show in Croke Park on Saturday night. Joe Canning is going to be there, Brendan Cummins, John Milan and Eddie Brennan. So really a bumper show there, and we like John Milan so much we're actually having him on today as well to talk even more hurling. We're going to be joined in studio in a few minutes by Conor McKeown of the Herald and Donal Gabboira of the Irish Independent to go over the game. And Michael, you're like the quintessential hurling man. Like, what does this week mean to you? You know, this is the premier week of the year for hurling.
That's a nice title. Asher, it means everything, really. The excitement for it all. It's what does hurling final mean to me? It was the 90s. We were going up most years with Offaly, 94, 95 and 98. I kind of wish I had those moments now in your early 30s and you could appreciate them a bit more. There was a time then when we just presumed that All Ireland were going to come around every year. The hurling final weekend is unbelievable. You have the sevens on Saturday. We've played it a couple of times at Burr even as well. There's a great buzz around. So that was a great buzz around town on Saturday night. On Sunday then as well, you get in nice and early. And it's just, to be there, it's something even people that maybe, you know, maybe hurling's not their first sport, to be there watching it and appreciating what's going on, it's just an unbelievable spectacle.
Yeah. I've only attended one final myself. It was Kilkenny Tip in 2016, a game we're going to refer to later, which was, it was an enjoyable game. I'm hoping to get to one this weekend again, like you. I'm kind of looking around for tickets at late notice. But what's your earliest final moment, like, that you remember?
Earliest final moment? The one I've seen most is one before I was born, to be honest with you. It's when Offaly won their first in 1981 against Galway, a big comeback. They ended up winning 2-12-15. Johnny Flaherty hand passes a goal, basically turns the game after Pat Delaney's great catch. And my granduncle Mick, who was heavily involved in the Offaly County Board, is the man seen dancing behind the canal in goals. Everyone always says it. Someone said the game was on RTE recently, you know, the great hurling documentary. Yeah. And somebody tweeted and said, I'd love to have the same happiness as that man behind the goal. And that's, my granduncle does a right good jig. Yeah, it's kind of like the Derby jig in 82.
Quintessential hurling men running the Verney family, obviously.
There you go.
So we'll turn our attention to this weekend's game. Delighted to welcome Conor and Dunnigan to the studio and John Milan on the line. And Michael, after the semi-final weekend, will Kilkenny and Tipperary emerge to book that final date? I asked you who you thought had the momentum going into that game. A couple of weeks on now, we're only, you know, two or three days away from the game. Who do you think has the edge at the moment?
I don't know if there is one, to be honest with you. you'll do well find a game as kind of evenly poised as this, and given like the results over the last decade and their rivalry, it's as 50-50 as you get. I suppose the only thing I would say about Tipperary, and if you kind of draw back to 2010, when they were kind of struggling and had just been beaten by Cork in the first round, and then they got this massive morale boosting win over Galway by a point. And maybe the Wexford game was something like that again. It was a backs to the wall job. It was the two or three goals conceded. They played with 14 men. Anything that could have went wrong, went wrong. So I'd imagine to be getting a fair bounce from that. They've no major injuries of note or anything like that. I suppose maybe if you're looking for an edge, maybe Tipperary have it, just mentally, because coming back from the Munster final, you probably would have been doubting where they were mentally. A poor performance against Laois, a massive performance the last day against all the odds. So probably just kind of Tipperary in that, with to have that slight edge.
Yeah, Conor, it's interesting when you look at both teams over the course of their campaigns. Both sides, their form lines have kind of gone up and down. Like Tip had that unbelievable round robin series where they, you know, thumped everyone. Then they themselves were overturned pretty comprehensively against Limerick. And then for Kilkenny, you know, they were beaten at home by Galway. You know, they were okay against Wexford in the Leinster final, but lost the game ultimately. And then two really good throwback performances against Cork when they were, you know, big underdogs. I know at our live show, I think only one person maybe tipped, you know, Kilkenny to win the game. That was JJ Delaney. And then obviously against Limerick, who were huge favourites to go and go back to back, and Kilkenny obliterated them in the physical stakes for long periods. So it's hard to maybe draw any definitive conclusions, because both sides have been great at times and maybe less so at other times.
Yeah, I wonder whether we're going to look back on the Munster final and just like draw a big sort of smiley face beside it as being the most ridiculous match of the entire summer, that just didn't make sense. Like, as brilliant as Limerick were that day, there was no fight out of Tipperary when it went against them. And like, in hindsight, given the fight that they showed that day against Wexford when everything was going wrong, you just wonder maybe did they give up the ghost a little bit too soon. I know people were saying in advance, winning Munster has not been, like, it has happened too often that Munster champions lose in the semi-final for it to be anything coincidental. So there has to be something to that. But yeah, it's been a weird summer for both of the teams. I still think the performance of the summer was Kilkenny in the semi-final against Limerick. Just the kind of controlled fury of the whole thing, the energy that they built up, and the way that they went and won the game. But you know what Kilkenny did very well that day was kind of out Limerick. And I think Tipperary play a different game completely. You know, if you bottle up Limerick around midfield, which Kilkenny did that day, they'll kind of throw hand passes left and right, but you're still kind of in the traffic. And it was Patrick Horgan said this was last week, when he got the Player of the Month award. He said, like, Tipperary are different. You know, when they get bottled up, they have the hurlers that can flick a ball out 30, 40 yards with the stick. And that gets you out of that kind of traffic of bodies, you know. And if they can do that and they can find their men, I think Tipperary have the better forwards, and I think they'll win.
Yeah, when you look back the last time these sides played in the final, Dunnock in 2016, the Tip forwards, they were the difference that day. They were sensational. This time around, do you think Kilkenny have the necessary kind of, I guess, you know, people in their defence to stem that flow?
Well, I think Conor kind of touching it there, it kind of depends on what sort of a game it turns into. And if it turns into the one where it's a bit of a war in the middle, I think that suits Kilkenny. And if it turns into a very expansive one where, you know, it's left one-on-one, and like that day, the Kilkenny full back line got taken apart, I think. And if it's left like that again, I think it'll suit Tipperary. So I think that's going to be the first battle of the day. Is it's going to be turning in what sort of a game it is, whose terms is it going to be played on. Now, Kilkenny are very good at generally bending a game to their will, or bringing a team through a position where they're uncomfortable and making them play the game in the way that they want to be played on. So it'll come down to that, and it's very tight. But I'd have to disagree with Michael a little bit. Like, Kilkenny's form coming into this, they've beaten Cork and they've beaten the All-Ireland champions who had held all the three major titles coming into this. Like, they couldn't be in a better place. That if you just go simply on form over the last two games, it's very hard to look past. It's hard to look past Kilkenny, even though Tip are clear favourites with the bookies, which is interesting because it's 8-11. Just look at Tipperary. Kilkenny are 11-10, which I don't think there'll be many people that strong on coming down in one way or the other. Like, that's a fair margin. I thought it'd be about an even
score. There's probably more money down on Tipperary from earlier in the year, though, is the only thing.
Yeah, possibly. That could be doing it. And you could be touching something there too, that 2016 final as well. There's a handful of the same Tipperary lads are around, the fellas who did all the damage that day. So There's probably a number of factors at play there, but it's really is a toss of a coin for me.
Just the Matt Dunnock you said there as well. Like if Kilkenny do win and you're beating Cork, Limerick, and Tip to win All Ireland against all odds with a team that's basically written off as also runs, it'd be absolutely outrageous. In all fairness, it'd be as good All Ireland one as there has been.
But two of your forwards are clearly not fit as well. Like with Walter Walsh and Richie Hogan, like carrying them through the summer, it's been an extraordinary effort to get to here, and you wouldn't put it past them just to come together on the day. But
yeah, I'm bringing John Malone on the line now. John, I was reading your piece in today's Irish Independent, kind of teeing up All Ireland hurling final week, and you were focusing, I guess, on Liam Sheedy and his second coming, and sounded like you were edging maybe slightly towards Tipperary, but I guess the Liam Sheedy factor is an interesting one. Like so often we've seen when a manager does come back for a second spell, it doesn't go well. They can't recapture their former magic. But to be fair to Liam Sheedy, he's reinvigorated a lot of those players who over the last two summers, you know, they didn't look to be themselves, and he's gotten them back playing again.
Yeah, 100%. I suppose the last couple of years he would have been sitting back in the RTE studios, and I suppose he would have been saying to himself, you know, that this Tipperary team are probably underperforming. At the start of the year, many were tipping him to, when they stopped the drive for five, many were tipping him to go on and be the team of the decade. They only pushed on and won the one All-Ireland in 2016. Possibly could have won the All-Ireland in 2014. And probably Liam Sheedy was probably saying to himself, you know, since he left in 2010, that this Tipperary squad, a lot of the players that he had under his regime were probably after, I wouldn't say failing, but probably should have won an awful lot more. And I probably sensed himself, well, there's no better place to come back and end the decade by winning an All-Ireland. He would have stopped the drive for five, won the All-Ireland. And if you told Liam Sheedy, probably in 2010, told most Tipperary supporters that you'd win three All-Irelands throughout the course of this decade, I suppose many Tipperary fans would have taken the hand off. It's not been achieved since the 60s. I suppose he would have got the bug back fairly handy. You know, and he would have seen the likes of, you know, as I stated in the column today, he had the likes of Brendan Maher, Noel McGrath, Callan, Pádraig Maher. You know, he would have kick-started their careers. And he probably would have been saying to himself, well, look, there's probably another year or two left in these lads, and there's definitely, most certainly, another All-Ireland in him. And I suppose that's why he took the decision upon himself to come back. You know, probably might have taken a risk in many people's eyes, but not Liam Sheedy, I suppose. He probably would have sized up the personnel that was in that Tipperary squad. They were very unlucky last year. They came within the width of a post, Jake Morris, the width of a post of qualifying to get into that top three last year. So they weren't too far away. They'd be knocking on the door the last couple of years. He would have seen what they've done in 2016, and he would have said to himself, most certainly, there's definitely an All-Ireland in this team.
And Michael, one other thing that John referred to in his column today was, you know, there was a great clip emerged towards the very end of the Tip Wexford game when he kind of comes together with one of the Wexford players and he's like roaring. He's like almost fit to go on the field himself. It's like that. He brings that fire, similar to Brian Cody when he's on the sidelines, that really just gets, you know, G's up the team.
Yeah, it was unbelievable passion. I've never seen anything like it. Joe O'Connor probably wasn't going at full pace. It was just at the end of the game. But like usually when you're off balance, you're the one that's knocked over. Like he wasn't expecting it or whatever. And Joe O'Connor ended up on the floor and he kind of bigged up in front of him and then gave a little Ric Flair woo kind of at the end of it as well. And you could just see RT cameras actually panned to him then, and it was just like a couple of really sharp intakes of breath, like I need to just get myself my feet back down on the ground here. And he did very, very quickly, and he went out to his players, and as John said in his column, or he went out to Sean Clear as well, and kind of just got rid of that was parked straight away regardless of whatever happened in the game. But he brings a phenomenal passion to it. I can't remember what game it was, him and Cody kind of pushed into each other, I think in a league game before as well. I expect him to come a fairly close quarters on Sunday. Just two passionate men, and they'll probably be in each other's faces at some stage as well. But the passion that Sheedy has brought back to it, and John said as well, it was a big risk. There's no point in saying any different. He, as John said today, he is viewed as the Messiah in Tipperary. He'd everything to lose, in my opinion, by coming back. It's very easy to sit in RT studios or sitting wherever and talk about this and talk about that and talk about what should be done. But he took a massive risk coming back. Calculated probably in his head, because he knew the character of particularly a lot of those lads that were there in 2010. But to get back to a final straight away in your first year and be in this position, and it's the third Cody Sheedy final as well. It's probably the rubber game, like whoever wins. Like if Sheedy be the first, as John said as well, Sheedy be the first manager to beat Cody in two finals as well. Cody's obviously looking for retribution from 2010 as well. It's while it's the same faces, it's a different story, I think.
Yeah, it's a huge job as well that he's done. Just whatever about getting the players right and, you know, bringing in the right players and cultivating that bench that had such a big part of the victory over Wexford, despite the fact that I don't think anybody going into the game thought Tipperary had any kind of a bench. But like Liam Sheedy, he got the well, I don't know that he get, but he certainly campaigned to have the championship matches in April cancelled in Tipperary, and he said that was a huge part in getting the team right, whereas Michael Ryan had a situation last year where players played two club matches and then went straight into playing four games in a row.
Some of them had played football as well.
Yeah, in the Munster Championship. And then he got Declan Kelly, his old friend from Port Row, who's the owner or the CEO of Tenio.
Port Row Power,
Port Row Power to sponsor the team as well. So you can see, like, it's not just a case of coming back in and coaching the hurling team. He figured out literally every sort of aspect.
It is that Pat Gilroy kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I did steal that from you on News Talk yesterday. I listened to you on the pay-per-view, so just parroting back what you said, but it was a good point.
Just on that as well, like, he could have, like he did in 2010, he could have brought in all the 21s from last year and put them in straight away, but he kind of went with the old guard, and the 21s from last year are still there and they're making impact off the bench, and now they have this unbelievable under-20s team as well. So all of a sudden, like, from maybe looking like they were falling a bit, they're in an unbelievable position. With it's the same situation as 2010 again. It's an All-Ireland final with a 20 or 21 final followed 6 days later, and they'll be hoping to do the exact same as they did then.
Yeah, and I guess going up to the game, don't get a lot of the talk is about Sheedy and Cody and kind of the big picture legacy things, what it would mean for either of them to win. But when we maybe get into maybe like the team selection issues, like, there's nothing really, there's no real kind of dramatic, oh, will he pick him or will he pick him? Like, I think this maybe talk will Sheedy bring back in James Barry, but besides that, it seems both sides are quite settled.
Seem very settled, and I think we kind of know what they're going to try and do as well. We know who's going to do an off. We know, like, TJ Reid is where you start if you're trying to beat Kilkenny. You know, Seamus Callanan's going to do damage at the other end. Was it 7 games in a row now he scored championship goals in, which is a phenomenal record. It is sort of, everyone's aware of what the other team is going to bring to the table. Just wondering, be any sort of last minute sort of something that we haven't thought of, or maybe something that they've been sitting on? I don't think so now, because both teams have had to go to the absolute pin at our collar to stay in the championship and win important games. So I don't think there's anything.
If you remember the 2010 final as well, I remember Sheedy doing an interview beforehand and he said, look, we want Henry Shefflin to play this game, you know what I mean? There was no kind of trying to get the inches of getting the opposition at a disadvantage. It was like, look, we want to win this All-Ireland properly. We take on the opposition in the full of their health. And I don't think either manager is prone to kind of producing some rabbit from a hat. I think both of them would have absolute confidence in their teams going out, playing their own game and winning the game next weekend.
I think the big regret for Tipperary will be Bonner. You know, that's sort of, I don't want to say it's made for him, but of all the type of players they might need, and he kind of is the one, isn't it? Because if it is going to be a physical battle and loads of rooks around the middle, where he is the man that is sort of built for that. I think he's Tipperary's main man for that.
You just need someone to take a bit of hardship, because Kenny are going to dish out an unbelievable amount of hardship. Like Niall O'Mara is in there, different type of player though. Different type of player, probably better on the ball in a way, and maybe more better at maybe taking a point or something like that. But he's not going to go through all the hardship that Bonner is going to go through. So, and that, like, the way I look at the game is, I'd put probably Niall O'Mara up against John Donnelly and say whichever of those two half forwards does better, their team will probably win. It's those kind of unheralded type of players. Donnelly's been putting in massive shifts, getting in huge hits, which he hadn't been up until he was in the Wilderness before he was recalled for the quarter final. It's those type of players that'll basically win or lose the game. The only selection issue or question is probably whether Killian Buckley will start or not. I think Richie Lattie carried a knock.
He was quite poor against Limerick,
I think he carried a knock into the game, and
he hasn't been fit all year. He's really battled him, hasn't he? Like a lot of them, we kind of touched on earlier on, like, you know, Richie Hogan has sort of, you know, has limped through. Walter Walsh has been in and out of full fitness as well. So, fairness, Cody, he's done very well.
I wonder whether Sheedy will bring out the Jackie Terrell book just to, if you remember one of the passages he was talking about, the Tipperary forwards, and they mentioned Bubbles O'Dwyer particularly as being one that if you put it up to him, he's going to wilt, you know. So, you know, Bubbles is the sort of fella, we all know how great a hurler he is, but like if he has one of those days where he's actually really energetic and really aggressive and sort of takes no nonsense from his man, like he's the guy who can win the final for you, no doubt about it.
Yeah, John, like if Kilkenny do bring that same ferocity against Limerick, you know, I know Tip came through a really stern test against Wexford, but do you think they'll be able to withstand that kind of aggression and physicality? Because it took Limerick, you know, the guts of, you know, 35, 40, 45 minutes to get on top of it, and even then it wasn't enough to wrestle back that match.
Yeah, well, I don't envisage it being an open game like it was in 2016. I think Brian Cody will be after viewing that over and over again, that 2016 final. Likewise, Liam Sheedy would be after viewing last year's league final, trying to pick up what he could have picked up out of that from last year, how he's going to nullify the threat of TJ Reeves. Now, I think the two big matchups are Hugh Lawler on Callan and whoever picks up TJ Reid. Now, the question mark is, who's going to man mark TJ Reid? I presume it will be probably Brendan Maher. You know, Limerick made the mistake that they kind of tried to zonally mark him. You can't zonally mark TJ Reid. You have to go and man mark him by Cor Gibbs, Steve McDonald. And I think it's going to come down to them two matchups. As I said, I don't envisage it being an open, expansive game. I think Kilkenny are going to go down the same route that they did against Limerick. They're going to flood that middle third area. And if Tipperary don't match that ferocious, manic aggression and that ravenous play that Kilkenny bring to the table, well, then there's only going to be one winner. But look, I expect it's an All-Ireland final. I don't think any player is going to go out. I think every player is going to go out and put their body on the line. If Tipperary do match him in that tournament, well, he's got a fantastic chance of winning this match.
And that matchup that John refers to there, Seamus Callan versus Hugh Lawler, if it comes to pass, is so critical, because I know we've talked about 2016 a bit and there are some different faces, but there's a lot of similar guys there as well. And Seamus Callan was unplayable that day. I think he got up, it was a 10 from play or 9 points from play. You know, he wasn't even operating like right beside the goal. He was coming out and getting points, but he scored in every championship game this year, a goal. Like, so Hugh Lawler will have his hands full, and he did a very good job against Aaron Gillan in the semi-final, so he'll be confident as well. But that is probably the key matchup.
Yeah, Hugh Lawler has marked in the last three games was it Conor McDonald, Patrick Horgan and Aaron Gillan, and when he's had some trouble with the three of them at different stages, as anybody would, he's been dominant at different stages as well, particularly the second half against even the day against Conor McDonald. Like, he was still attacking ball, it was 50 or 60 yards in front of him and he's still out attacking ball. Same against Gillan the last day as well. It's a really interesting
penalty was very harsh as well.
Yeah, no, it was very harsh. It's a really interesting matchup. Callan's been flying all year, but I think
Patrick Walsh probably give a bit more protection though, like, if yeah, you compared to that. Like, Patrick Walsh will have to sit.
It's going to take the words out of my mouth. I think compared to 2016, Patrick Walsh is going to sit right in front of the D. He's sitting an awful lot deeper. You know, even the last day in the Limerick match, he sat back in front of Hugh Lawler. And that's what we've come to show from this Kilkenny team over the years. And, you know, you go back to the Brian Hogan's, you know, they sit in front of the D, they protect Noel Hickey. And I envisage Patrick Walsh going down the same route, and sitting in front of the D, sitting in front of Callan, and offering that bit of protection in front of you all over the weekend.
And the other thing as well is that, like, if you say you want to get the ball to Callan, you're going to have to go over Patrick Walsh. But like it's a big risk, because Patrick Walsh is probably the last Kilkenny player that you want to give any easy possession of the ball to, because from back there he can make 40 yards and put it over the bar, or he can pick out a pass for one of the inside forwards. So Callan and Hugh Lawler would be a huge battle, but like Tipperary, you're going to have to be very cute about how they get the ball to him.
Just what John said as well, like, tactically Kilkenny have changed completely in the last couple of years. Like Kilkenny actually outsmarted Limerick in the semi-final tactically. They had 8 or 9 lads, they weren't playing sweepers, but they had 8 or 9 defenders at different stages of the game, like, actually planted. Joey Holden was often standing in front of the full back line as well. Their half forwards were like orthodox wing backs at different stages as well. Like, so that, like, 60 yards that appeared in front of Seamus Callan, there's not a hope of anything like that next Sunday. Not a hope. I'd say if any one game forced Cody to change his ways or be more maybe open-minded to different types of tactics, it was probably that 2016 final. And, like, David Fitzgerald commented after the Leinster final, he Cody is seen as kind of old school and whatever, and he just said you wouldn't believe, like, how tactically different and advanced he's gotten, they have gotten in the last couple of years.
But I think as well, the admission of the fact that the tactically they got it wrong that day is the fact that Joey Holden is back in the Kilkenny team now. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're saying that was an individual who was at fault, well, then he'd never play for Kilkenny again.
That's happened before.
Yeah, it's funny, Dunica, as Michael says, that like tactically they've evolved. They have brought in some young players, and yet in the Cork game and against Limerick, it was some of those old guys who have been, like Colin Fenley's having a really good season. Now, I know he probably runs 10 yards when he gets the ball, before, but he finishes them off really well.
He runs about 10 or 15 steps as well.
Yeah, he seems to get it, but he's one of those, he gets a couple of those big man steps because he's getting sort of fouled and sort of dragged out when he gets a couple extra ones.
Himself and Walter Walsh, you know, started really brightly against Limerick as well and was pretty influential in the early stages. TJ Reid is obviously, you know, one of the best hurlers of all time. And, you know, if Richie Hogan can come on, and he wasn't a bit off against Limerick, but, you know, another few weeks in his legs because he is, you know, still coming back from long-term injuries. Like, these are the men who have carried them over the years who were really prominent too.
It is. And the other thing about them is that they've been very good at learning on the hoof during a match. So if they are getting picked off or they are have troubles, they do have a couple of different ways they can change it up, you know. Let's be it, Pádraig Walsh has to go back or whatever the move might be. They have a few different things to play it a few different ways. So, like, there was a very, like, outside of TJ, there's a great support cast there. They were all willing to, I remember doing a training weekend once and your man was talking to us about piano players and piano carriers, and he says, there can only be so many piano players. You know, the piano carriers have to get on with it. Their job is just as important.
How like, were you?
No comment. I wasn't even allowed to carry the piano. I was injured. The collective force of will that they have around there and to give the ball, get the best man in the best position into the game, be a TJ, scoring whatever huge percentage of the scores you've got, they don't care. It's just about getting over the line.
And John, I know today's column was kind of focusing on Liam Sheedy, but you have talked before about your admiration for what Brian Cody has done to get his team back to this level. Like, I know you had your battles with him, you know, over 10 years ago in All-Ireland Finals and in some other big semi-final matches. Like, you know, this probably would be, as Michael referred to earlier, like to beat like Cork, to beat Limerick, and then maybe to beat Tip would probably be up there with his best All-Ireland win.
Well, I think the word Verney used a few minutes ago was outrageous if he pulled it off, and I'd echo that. It would be a phenomenal achievement if he pulled it off. It probably one of the greatest achievements of the modern era. I mean, the easiest thing for Brian Cody probably after the 2016 final was to say, look, lads, I can't bring this team anymore, but it's just not in his DNA. They were beaten by Waterford in the qualifiers. They were beaten by Limerick last year in the quarter final, and, you know, at the start of the year, there was no one was predicting that, you know, Kilkenny were going to push on and you know, be in the final and possibly be All-Ireland champions. I mean, he's smashing all the records. I mean, what he's going for, his 12th title, and he's going for his 15th All-Ireland title between manager and playing, and he's going for his 21st national title between national leagues and All-Ireland success as a manager. It's just unbelievable. I think the superlatives were running out of what to say about him. But, you know, once the hunger and the drive is still there, you know, Brian Cody will keep on going. And let's be honest, there, he's proven an awful lot of us pundits wrong. He's proven an awful lot of people winning his own county wrong. And, you know, he just loves the challenge for him is always the next match, winning the next match. It's not next year or what's gone before him. It's always about just winning the next match, and the next match for him is Sunday, beating Tipperary and pushing on. But if he does pull it off, and, you know, there's a part of me, you know, I've gone on the record and saying I just love the aura about him of being, you know, the greatest manager of all time. And I think myself, like many others out there, you know, would nearly love to see him pulling it off again, you know, against all the odds.
Just weren't that far off, were they? Like, you know, they were by no means blown out of it by Limerick last year.
No, definitely not. And Walter Walsh was missing that game as well, you know, last year. 2 points, yeah.
I'm just looking at it, like, they were in a minor, they won the minor in 14, I think they won the minor last year, did they?
18? No, they haven't won the, not Galway, or Galway won the last two.
And I'm just looking at the college's finals here as well, like, they've won four of the last five Croke Cups. So
I think it's more so after the defeat in Leinster final, you know, I mean, everyone was writing him off, like, I mean, and I think the odds went down to 12-1 to push on and win the All-Ireland. I mean, when have we ever seen double-digit figures in odds that Kilkenny will push on and win the All-Ireland? I mean, 12-1 the morning of the Cork game. Those odds tell you that, you know, if they are to push on, it will be an unbelievable achievement.
I remember leaving Thurles after Waterford beat them in the qualifiers 2 years ago, and I was just chatting a lot of people from Kilkenny, and even a few friends from Kilkenny. It was just like, basically the general narrative was that Kilkenny are going to take 4 or 5 years to rebuild, and that Cody probably wasn't the one to rebuild them because he was a bit outdated, maybe wasn't in touch with younger players and things like that, and she's just totally ripped up the script. Like.
Well, it's funny because I know Martin Brenny's always kind of defended him and his record, and he was like, well, surely if he's the greatest manager of all time, he's the perfect person to, you know, to manage a transition because he's the greatest manager of all time.
The other thing is, you probably have the best goalkeeper in the history of Hurling there. You have one of the best forwards in TJ Reid. Like, you only need 3 or 4, Pádraig Walsh, is probably entering into that bracket as well. I think you only need 4 or 5 fellas to build that team around. Now, the fact of the matter is, there's no doubt about it, whether they win this All-Ireland or not, they don't have... It's probably the weakest squad that Cody, I think, has ever had, which is why why it's so remarkable. Like, look at the number of forwards that have come into the team and had little runs and haven't really staked a claim the last few years. And they're going back to Richie Hogan now, who, like beautiful hurler and everything else, but like, he's just, like, his mobility, you can see, is completely shot. And there's obviously something wrong with Walter Walsh. So, we talk about teams getting the most out of themselves. I think, like, this is going to sound ridiculous, but they're getting more than the most out of themselves. Like, they really are. Like, it's like, if you did give me the Kilkenny starting 15 at the start of the year and said, will they make the All-Ireland final? There's nobody here that would have said yes. So it's like, it's a phenomenal achievement.
And just someone we haven't mentioned, like Adrian Mullen, like, he obviously won the Club Player of the Year and was brilliant in the club final, brilliant in Ballyhale's run to success. But there's no way you're thinking this lad's going to settle in like as easy as he could.
Game,
like. No. Like, he was taken off after 31 minutes against Galway in Nolan Park, and John has written about it before, and he's just like, would any other player have been able to bounce back and come and score 1-3 the next week? And then he scored, I think he scored 4 points against Limerick, and I think he scored 1 against Cork, but was really influential as well.
And a couple of bad wides against Wexford and Wexford Park as well, in the round robin game as well.
And there's usually a long apprenticeship in Kilkenny as well.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Richie Hogan, who was a star from day one, TJ Reid had to serve a bit of an apprenticeship as well.
Big time.
And, you know, he's been brought in. And that could go back to what Conor was saying about maybe the panel not being quite what it was, that they just had this young fella that knew there was something in it and they persevered with him, whereas he's learned on the hoof in championship matches. Maybe previously he would have been learning on the hoof in the in-house games in Nolan Park.
Just an interesting one there as well. You have Hurler of the Year elect, probably TJ Reid, young Hurler of the Year, Adrian Mullen. Colin Fenley and Joey Holden will both win All-Stars at the moment, particularly if Kilkenny win All-Ireland. So, like, Ballyhale are doing the fair service to Kilkenny at the moment.
Yeah, we could preview this game all day. I think it's probably prediction time now, Michael. Who do you think is going to win and why?
Depending on what type of a game it is, if it's a shootout, Tip win. If it's a war, Kilkenny win. I think it's more likely to be a war. So I think Kilkenny will just edge it.
Gnarly. All right.
Gnarly,
I think Tipperary are going to win it. I think they'll match Kilkenny particularly early on for that sort of physical aggression. I can't envisage a situation where they end up like Limerick were in, where they're just too far down, have too much ground to make back. And I think, like, of all the opponents, maybe this isn't the one that Liam Sheedy thought he might be coming up against, but this is the opponent that he might be actually best at setting his team up for inadvertently. So, Tip's forward line, I think TJ Reid is definitely hurler of the year, the best hurler in the game, but I think as a collective, the Tip attack will score more than the Kilkenny team.
Callum might get hurler of the year then if that comes to pass.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Connor. Just comes down to just sheer scoring power. I think Tipperary have the edge on that, and if you shut down, Callanan, you could have bubbled in form. I think TJ will have to do an awful lot to get himself into this game. I think Kilkenny will be talking about him more than anyone else, and I think when it comes to it, Tip just have the power, the scoring power to do it.
And John, I'll give you the last word.
Oh, Jesus. It's so hard to separate both these sides. I echo what Fenry said. I think if it's a battle, I think Kilkenny may win it. And I think the matchups are going to be massive. I think Brendan Maher, you go back to the 2016 finals, TJ Reid, Richie Hogan, Colin Fenley, Walter Welsh, they only scored 1-2 from play. I think it awful lot is going to depend on the likes of Brendan Maher, on TJ Reid. I think bringing back in the likes of Seamus Kennedy, Heffernan, they're more versatile. They can go and man-mark the likes of Walter Welsh if he flips into the corner. Pádraig Maher might pick him up in the half-forward line. But I just feel, Tipperary, I think, they have a bit too much up front. I think they have the firepower up front, and I think the hurler of the year, I think it's going to come down to if Tipperary win it, I think Callanan will win it. If Kilkenny win it, I think TJ Reid will be hurler of the year. Look, 10 days ago, I would have said Kilkenny, but the closer it gets to the game, I just think if Tipperary get their matchups right, I think they have the firepower up front to win this match.
Just an interesting one on that. Kilkenny have been underdogs for their last two games and now third game, betting wise. So, like, and I'm glad John kind of went against it there. Like, Cody had been nearly thinking that I&M is out against him.
Well, it's set up to be an absolute cracker either way. Michael, John, Connor, Dunnigan, thanks so much for joining me.
Cheers, no matter, thanks, Will. Thank you.
That's all we have time from the throne this week in association with Bord Gáis Energy, and a reminder that we will be at Croke Park on Saturday night to preview the big game along with Eddie Brennan, Joe Canning, Brendan Cummins and John Malam. So until then, thank you so much for listening and goodbye.
Bord Gáis Energy, putting customers at the core of under 20 and senior hurling championship action. Hashtag hurling to the core.